5 of the Horror Talk of Larry Eiler. At Eiler's death, his attorney, Kathleen Zellner, had prepared a further appeal disputing her client's conviction in the Bridges murder. This appeal was pending in the Illinois Supreme Court, and Zellner remained confident Eiler's conviction would have been overturned. The appeal itself maintained that one of Eiler's defense attorneys, David Shippers, had a conflict of interest as he had received a payment of $16,875 from Robert Little to assist in Eiler's defense at his trial for the murder of Daniel Bridges. However, Little had appeared as a witness for the prosecution. Shippers had informed Judge Urso he was offering his legal services free of charge, adding he would inform the court if these circumstances change. As such, the appeal contended Shippers had been guilty of attorney misconduct and that Eiler's conviction had therefore been unsafe. Zellner maintained her conviction that a conflict of interest of this magnitude would undoubtedly have resulted in Eiler securing a retrial. This appeal further claimed that Little had been the individual who had murdered Daniel Bridges. Shortly after her client's death, Zellner confirmed that she would proceed with filing the appeal to clarify various outstanding legal issues about a lack of police investigation into Robert Little as a potential culprit in Bridges' abduction and murder, and regarding documents negating her client's aggravated kidnapping conviction, which had not been made available to Eiler's defense attorneys either before or after his trial. Posthumous confession. 2 days after Eiler's death, Kathleen Zellner called a press conference in which she revealed the names and descriptions of 17 individuals whom her client confessed to having personally murdered, and naming 4 other individuals: Stephen Crockett, Stephen Agin, an unidentified Caucasian murder in late May 1983, and a further unidentified Caucasian male murder in April 1984, whom Eiler claimed had been murdered with the assistance of Little, who Zellner referred to in his press conference as, quote, an unnamed individual still living in Indiana, end quote. Zellner emphasized her client's insistence Little had been the individual who had murdered Bridges. According to Zellner, her client had been an emotionally insecure individual who had viewed Little as something of the father figure he had never had in his life, and this had left Eiler vulnerable to manipulation, with Little using him as means of facilitating his access to young males for sexual purposes in return for the financial support he provided. Zellner further asserted Eiler's paraphilia had inadvertently increased his penchant for violence, and that Little had begun to encourage her client to project his extreme self-hatred regarding his homosexuality and the conflict between his sexual preference and his religious beliefs onto other males approximately 6 months before the two had abducted and murdered Stephen Crockett. Furthermore, Eiler had been actively encouraged, aided, and abetted in all his subsequent murders by Little, who had known of all of his crimes. Emphasizing her belief in Eiler's confession, Zellner elaborated that her client had been formally diagnosed with AIDS in March 91 and therefore, quote, knew when he testified at Little's trial in the Stephen Agin murder that he was dying. I believe Larry was truthful. Larry had no incentive to lie to anyone, end quote. In his posthumous confession, Eiler stated he had typically lured his victims, who had been both heterosexual and homosexual, with promises of drugs, alcohol, money, or transport, and that immediately before stabbing several of his victims. Normally, when I do my horror talk episodes, when I do the horror talk of, like, any serial killer, let's say for men, for example, they target their victim says mostly homosexual because of Dahmer and John Wayne Gacy, of course. Like, they targeted their victims when they were gay, but now it's actually really different. I mean, it does happen in some states, the different serial killers, but oh well. Immediately before stabbing him stabbing several of his victims. He had pressed the blade of his knife against Durbanin before informing his victim to, quote, make peace with God, end quote. Furthermore, Eiler claimed he had never engaged in sex with any of his victims. He frequently gave his victims t-shirts to littles to use in masturbatory fantasies. Zellner stated Eiler had begun compiling a list of his victims shortly after she had been appointed as his legal representative in November 1990 to obtain a plea bargain whereby his sentence would be commuted to one of life imprisonment. Eiler had authorized his attorney to publicly release his confessions after his death. With his health gradually declining, he explained that the families of his victims would know he had confessed to the murders of their relatives. Now, the victims. Here's what Zellner said, or addressing the family members of Eiler's victims on March 8, 94. Quote, I think the only right thing he ever did with his life was giving me permission to come here today. The reason I'm here is so that the families know he did confess to the murders of your sons. He told me that, and I hope that can bring you some peace of mind. End quote. Eiler's posthumous confession reveals that he had murdered 21 teenage boys and young men between 1982 and 84, being assisted by his alleged accomplice, Little, in four of these murders. He denied any culpability in the physical murder of Bridges, although he admitted to the dismemberment and disposal of the teenager's body. Investigators strongly believe Eiler is also responsible for two additional homicides committed in Wisconsin and Kentucky in 1983. In his formal confession, Eiler claimed to have committed his murders in part to relive internal frustrations frequently triggered by fights with his lover, and to his achieving a sense of relief after the act. I thought it was his father or stepdad, but no, just like past relationships. His victims were hitchhikers, male prostitutes, or individuals he had generally encountered by happenstance, like, let's say, for heterosexual straight men. Each victim would be piled with alcohol and sedatives and driven to a remote area where Eiler would typically wait for an opportune moment to handcuff his victim. He would then overpower, gag, blindfold, and bind his victim's hand and foot before bludgeoning and lashing his victim before murdering him. Of these 20 further victims to which Eiler posthumously confessed, 10 had been committed in Indiana, and 10 in Illinois. Furthermore, according to Eiler, the body of one of these victims, an uptown male prostitute known as Cowboy, killed in his Rogers Park apartment in April 84, had never been found, unfortunately. In April last year, one of the four victims discovered alongside an oak tree close to an abandoned farmhouse in Lake Village, Indiana, on October 18, 83, was positively identified using DNA and genealogically as John Brandenburg Jr. of Chicago. One victim recovered from this location remains unidentified. A further victim discovered in Jasper County, Indiana on October 1583 was identified in December last year as William Lewis of Peru, Indiana, which you guys heard because that was his nephew talking. So, and he's buried with his dad, I think his brother probably. So the victims, which is really crazy, October 23, 82, Stephen Crockett, 19, October 30, 82, Edgar Undercoffer, 26, November 82, John Johnston, 25, November 20, 82, William Lewis, 19, December 19, 82, Stephen Agin, 23, December 22, 82, John Roach, 21, December 30, 82, David Block, 22, January 24, 83, Irvin Gibson, 16, March 2, 83, John Barlett, 19, March 6, 83, Michael Bauer, 22, March 20, 83, Richard Wayne, 17, March 22, 83, Jay Reynolds, 29, April 8, 83, Gustavo Herrera, 28, May 4, 83, Jimmy Roberts, 18, May 7, 83, Daniel McNeve, 21, May 18, 83, Richard Brills, 25. Around or I'm not sure, May 29, 1983, John Brandenburg Jr., 19, August 31, 1983, Ralph Calise, 28, September 27, 1983, Eric Hansen, 18, and August 19, 1984, Daniel Bridges, 16. Footnote: although Eiler did not confess to the murders of Jay Roberts and Eric Hansen, he is considered a strong suspect in both homicides. Unidentified victims, four of Eiler's victims remain unidentified, and the body of one of whom has never been found. The bodies of the of two of these unidentified descendants were discovered in Indiana, with one further victim discovered in Illinois. Each unidentified descendant is listed below in order of body discovery. The final entry is an entry within Eiler's posthumous confession to one further murder he claimed to have committed with the assistance of Little in 84. July 2, 1983, Ford County, Illinois, Hispanic, aged between 20 and 25. October 18, 1983, Newton County, Indiana, African American, aged between 15 and 18. December 7, 1983, Hendricks County, Indiana, African American, age between 29 and 39, and around or before, I'm not sure, April 84, Cook County, Illinois, Caucasian, age between 16 and 19. Aftermath: following Eiler's arrest and subsequent conviction for the murder of Bridges, Lake County Circuit Judge William Block suffered political repercussions due to his decision to suppress evidence about Eiler's guilt in the murder of Ralph Calise and to reduce his bond sum to $10,000. Block later unsuccessfully bid to be appointed to the Illinois Appellate Court. He remained a circuit court judge in Wisconsin. Eiler's lover John Dobrovolsky relocated to California shortly after his arrest. He later returned to live with his wife Sally in Chicago. Unfortunately, Dobrovolsky died of AIDS in January 1990 at the age of 29 years old. May rest in peace. Shortly after his 91 acquittal of the murder of Agent, Little returned to the teaching position he had held at the Indiana State University since 71 and continued to maintain his lack of knowledge and knowledge of and innocence in any murders Eiler had committed. On the day Eiler's posthumous confession was revealed by his attorney, a spokesman for the Cook County State's attorney stated to the media that despite Eiler's claims to have been assisted by Little in four murders and that Little had murdered Bridges, insufficient objective evidence existed to substantiate Eiler's admissions and that no further investigation into Little's alleged participation in Eiler's murders would ensue. Zellner continues to practice law in Downers Grove, Illinois. Her firm specializes in the overturning of wrongful convictions. Shortly after Eiler confessed his guilt in 21 homicides to her in 1990, Zellner resolved she would never again knowingly defend another guilty individual. Oh, hello. Media, literature, Free to Kill: The True Story of Serial Murderer Larry Eiler. Published by Gerald Lynn Colark and Wayne Klatt in 1990. Publication by Garrett County Press. The Highwayman, Larry Eiler, The Hoosier Highway Killer, Cray Space, published by Brian Lee Tucker in 2017. Television, the crime documentary series The New Detectives has broadcast an episode focusing on the murders of Larry Eiler. This episode, titled Literally Body Counts, okay, so fuck, was the first broadcast on December 22, 1998. Finally, the true crime series Mark of the Killer has broadcast an episode focusing on the murders of Larry Eiler. This 45-minute episode titled The Interstate Killer was the first broadcast on October 17, 2021. That was the end of the horror talk of Larry Eiler. Thank you, God. Sorry about that. May the victims rest in peace. My heart goes out to their families. May Eiler rest in hell, of course. So, oh well. And also may Dobrovolsky's rest in peace as well. I'll see you guys next week on my new episode on my Horror Talk podcast. All right, have a good night and stay safe. Bye.